Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, From Guilt to Grace, Hope and Healing for Christian Moms of Addicted Children by Dawn R. Ward is a faith-based self-help and spiritual encouragement book focused on mothers facing the pain of an adult child's addiction or other self-destructive behavior. Drawing on the author's own experience and Christian ministry perspective, the book addresses the emotional burden that often comes with guilt, shame, fear, regret, and the exhausting impulse to fix what cannot be controlled. Rather than centering the addicted child, the book directs attention to the mother's healing, spiritual restoration, and surrender to God. Its purpose is not clinical treatment or family intervention strategy, but biblical comfort and reframing through grace, forgiveness, and trust in Jesus Christ. The book is positioned for readers who want practical spiritual guidance rooted in personal testimony and scripture-informed reflection, especially those who feel isolated in the realities of addiction within the family. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reframing maternal guilt as a spiritual burden rather than a solution. A central concern of the book is the tendency for Christian mothers to internalize responsibility for a child's addiction or destructive choices. Ward treats guilt not as a useful form of accountability, but as a burden that can trap readers in shame and self-blame. This matters because addiction often creates a false logic in families. If the parent had done more, the outcome might have changed. The book challenges that assumption by separating parental love from parental control. Instead of reinforcing obsessive self-examination, it argues that healing begins when mothers stop interpreting every failure as moral evidence against themselves. That shift is important in a Christian context, where conscience and responsibility are deeply valued, yet can become distorted when suffering is prolonged. The book, therefore, offers a corrective. Grief and regret may be real, but they do not define a mother's identity or determine God's posture toward her. Secondly, using biblical grace to replace fear, shame, and despair, the book's most distinctive mechanism is its use of Christian doctrine, especially grace, as the primary frame for recovery. Ward presents grace not as a vague comfort word, but as the theological basis for moving out of fear and into healing. The book appears to align emotional restoration with spiritual surrender, suggesting that peace comes when mothers stop trying to earn relief through control or self-punishment. This approach gives the book a distinctly devotional structure. Biblical truth is used to confront internal lies, while faith becomes the route to emotional stability. For readers already steeped in church language, this can be especially significant because it replaces condemnation with a more coherent theology of suffering. Rather than implying that faith should eliminate pain, the book accepts pain as part of the journey while insisting that shame is not the final word. In this way, grace functions both as reassurance and as a corrective to distorted self-understanding. Thirdly, centering the mother's healing instead of the addicted child's recovery. One of the book's clearest distinctions is that it is not a manual for fixing an addicted child. That choice is analytically important because many books on addiction-related family distress focus on intervention, boundaries, or recovery support for the person using substances. Ward instead redirects attention to the mother's inner life, arguing that the parent also needs care, truth, and restoration. This focus recognizes a common imbalance in addicted family systems. Caregivers often become consumed by monitoring, rescuing, or managing the other person's crisis while neglecting their own spiritual and emotional health. By narrowing the scope to the mother, the book creates space for her pain to be named without being subordinated to someone else's recovery timeline. The practical implication is that healing can begin even when the child's situation has not changed. That makes the book valuable for readers who need permission to seek peace, clarity, and stability without confusing that process with disloyalty. Blending personal testimony with devotional encouragement, Ward's credibility appears to come largely from her willingness to write as someone who has lived through the anguish she describes. The book is not presented as detached theory, which gives it a testimonial quality common in Christian nonfiction, but especially important here because addiction within a family is intensely personal and isolating. Personal experience does more than add emotion. It shapes how the book persuades. Readers facing similar circumstances are more likely to trust guidance that acknowledges disbelief, helplessness, and repeated disappointment rather than minimizing them. At the same time, the book does not seem intended as memoir alone. Its purpose is pastoral and formative, using lived experience to support biblical reflection and encouragement. That combination helps the book operate on two levels. It validates the reader's emotional reality and also offers a structured spiritual response to it. In a category crowded with generic encouragement, that intersection of testimony and faith-based counsel makes the book more concrete and relatable. Lastly, addressing the family-wide impact of addiction on Christian identity and community, although the book is aimed at mothers, it implicitly treats addiction as a family and faith community issue rather than an isolated private problem. the available material suggests that it speaks to the spiritual strain, relational confusion, and social loneliness that can accompany addiction in Christian households. That matters because many mothers do not only suffer from the child's behavior, they also suffer from silence, fear of judgment, and the pressure to appear faithful and composed. The book's promise of hope is therefore social, as well as spiritual. It offers language for what can often feel unspeakable. By situating the struggle within Christian belief, it helps readers understand that suffering does not exclude them from God's care or from meaningful support. This broader framing is one reason the book is relevant beyond a narrow devotional audience. It speaks to readers who need a faith-based way to interpret family crisis, maintain compassion, and resist isolation while still acknowledging the limits of human control. In conclusion, From Guilt to Grace will be most useful for Christian mothers who are living with the heartbreak of an adult child's addiction, substance use disorder, or self-destructive behavior, and who need a faith-centered framework for understanding their own emotional response. It is also relevant for pastors, ministry leaders, counselors, and supportive friends who want to better understand the internal struggles these mothers often carry in private. The main benefit of the book is that it shifts the question from "what did I fail to do" to "how can I receive healing now?" which can be an important reorientation for readers trapped in shame and self-blame, compared with more clinical family addiction books. It stands out for its explicitly devotional tone, theological focus on grace, and emphasis on the mother's spiritual restoration rather than the child's behavior management. Compared with general Christian encouragement books, it is more specific because it addresses a painful and often hidden family crisis with personal credibility. Its value lies in that combination of empathy, biblical reflection, and practical emotional reframing. For readers who need reassurance without denial, the book offers a focused and realistic form of support. If you would like to support Dawn R. Ward, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.